Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. I'm on the road. We're filming. Did some phenomenal filming yesterday over at the Marcellus Shell. And when you see the stories that these people are talking about how their land that had been in their family for generations was taken from them and how they were threatened, it'll be a wake-up call. This whole gas fracking is but one small part of a larger picture of what's happening to our environment. Today, I'm going to give, of course, beginning health and nutrition. Then I'm going to give an extra amount of environmental update. Because here's an issue. Over the weekend, we had about 100 million people watching sports in the United States. And that's fine. But I'll bet we didn't have 100 people watching the environment for solutions and warning us in the media of the severity of the problems that we face. The only thing that we do is we do body counts. The media loves body counts. I don't care if it's a shooting or an airplane crash or whether it's a hurricane. They keep the body count going up, but then they never discuss what is the real underlying cause of this problem. And as a result, if we don't ever understand the truth of a problem, we can never really solve it. I even recently received an email from someone I know who attended an environmental conference out in California with Governor Jerry Brown and Bill McKibben and others. And as if this is really important, it's not. It's completely irrelevant. Why? Because what they're doing on the environment, I don't care which group around the world has a conference, it's all in platitudes and we can do this and we can do that, but mark that it's never now. It's never today. But the disasters are occurring today. In fact, we were trying to film one family from North Carolina in a relative's home in Pennsylvania. They didn't want to be filmed. Their home was destroyed, flooded. And by the way, imagine this. You haven't heard a word about where all that water is going. It's going into their basements. How are they supposed to get it out? Even with a commercial company with big sump pumps and getting the water out, it has to dry. You have to disinfect it, otherwise you're going to have multiple different types of molds. Then the person's going to end up with environmental sicknesses, even killing them from all that. So you see, there's so much going on that we're not told, and that's unfortunate. And we're going to lay it all out for you today. I think you'll have a better understanding why we really should make this not voluntarily going to change by 2045 or 2035, California will be X, Y, and Z going ahead. Fine. Now, you're looking at 20 years out. Do you have any idea if California will even be habitable 20 years from now? So they're being extremely optimistic and making sure that they put everything so far in the future they can't be held accountable when it all goes sideways. It's just naive and it's stupid. We're going to tell you the truth on that. Then I'm going to have some short audio clips that we've selected for your response. So this will give you an opportunity to call in and share your points of view. And our talkback number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, I'm on a telephone today, and tomorrow I'll be able to get to a computer. But we didn't get back last night till 2 in the morning. It's a long day. And tomorrow we're down in the Cumberland, the Chesapeake Bay, and filming all this going on down there. Lots of pollution from chicken farms, etc. So we may have some interruptions because of people trying to call in on this line. So if we do, please understand you're not going to have the same technical quality as you normally would if I were in a studio. We're going to begin by looking at a study from the University of Illinois. It talked about the omega-3 fatty acids. By the way, you can get them either from fish or from plants, like avocados or flaxseed, or hemp seed. And it improves the metabolism and has anti-cancer effects. Two good things. So a class of molecules formed when the body metabolizes omega-3 fatty acids could inhibit cancer's growth and spread. That is important for us to know. The molecules are called endo, E-N-D-O, cannabinoids, C-A-N-N-A-B-I-N-O-I-D-S, endocannabinoids. And now they're made naturally by the body, and they have similar properties to the cannabinoids found in marijuana, but without the psychotropic effects. And it was osteosarcoma, which is a bone cancer that's notoriously painful and difficult to treat, and the endocannabinoids slowed the growth of tumors and blood vessels, inhibited the cancer cells from migrating, and caused cancer cell death. This was published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Medicinal Chemistry. So I thought that was very important. Here's what they say from the study. Quote, "We have a built-in endocannabinoid system, which is anti-inflammatory and pain-reducing. Now we see it is also anti-cancer, stopping the cells from proliferating or migrating. These molecules could address multiple problems, cancer, inflammation, and pain." So, one more reason to make sure that once or twice a day you take your omega-3 fatty acids. From Columbia University comes a new study published in the journal PLOS Biology about your antioxidants. Now, that's vitamin A and vitamin C and D and E. Very important that we get them every day. But I believe that we have to get them several times a day, and the reason is relatively straightforward. No two people, when they take vitamin C in the morning, know how long it's going to be circulating in their blood or how much the cells will use it. And I did the original experiments on this back in the 1970s. In fact, I was sharing this information with Dr. Linus Pauling. Pauling's lab and a Dr. Jawala at Pauling's lab where it was able to neutralize and destroy HIV virus with quercetin in cell culture. And we were discussing the whole idea of antioxidants, and the idea was you take them once in the morning, and most people just take their vitamins once in the morning. But that's assuming that that vitamin is going to be in your body all day long. It's not. If you are suffering from cancer, diabetes, metabolic dysfunction, you can burn up the vitamins in your blood very quickly, half hour, an hour. If you're under stress, you really speed up the oxidative stress in the body, which also speeds up how quickly the vitamin is used. And if you have AIDS and defining illnesses, you can use up all your vitamin C in a very short period of time. How do I know that? Because what we did, we took blood samples from 1,200 people that were being treated for AIDS-related conditions at the Tri-State Healing Center. So the doctors would get their blood taken, and we would analyze it. Then we would analyze throughout the day the amount of vitamin C taken in the morning and how much was left at the end of the day. So we saw that the sicker you are, the more vitamin C is used by the cells at a much greater rate, and that's how I decided I kept going up. This took a year and a half to figure this out. You can't do this quickly, and you have to replicate it many times, and you have to allow others to replicate your work, which is what we did, where I'd say, here's a protocol that I believe will make a difference with people with breast cancer. This is another protocol that would help people with chronic fatigue, et cetera, Lyme's disease. They have to be able to use your protocol and come up with similar results. So you can't, it's not quick. It's not something you can just say, oh, yeah, do this. And what I found was that the people who used the vitamin C the fastest and the most were people suffering from AIDS-related conditions because they had multiple viruses, human herpes 6, hepatitis, cytomegalovirus, as well as HIV. Now, it took 200,000 milligrams of vitamin C per day given intravenous over about a 4 to 5 hour period to where we were able to stabilize the amount of vitamin C in their body. So there was no massive spill off. That meant the body was using that And so that's what we ended up, you know, finding. And then that was the protocol, and that's why so many people, not a single person died, by the way. No other center in the world can claim that. That if you're working with 1,200 people with advanced AIDS, none of these were HIV positive, asymptomatic. These are all very sick people. And through the protocol for years, they're alive and well. And eight of them completely reversed HIV. They became HIV negative. And this was all independently confirmed, press conference, group of medical doctors, scientists, all reviewed all this. The only people who didn't care were the AIDS community, the gay community, and who controlled the AIDS community, and in turn, the pharmaceutical community that controlled them, and the favors and money going back and forth are astronomical. That's a story that no one has really dealt with because they're afraid. Unfortunate, but such a tiny little group of individuals had so much power and control, and still do today. But in any case, could you imagine what would have happened had our press conference with 100 medical doctors and their patients and all these people who had reversed their disease or improved their condition and were on no medications? Could you imagine if that had gotten out? Wow. Well, I know one thing that would happen. There wouldn't be $800 billion going into the pockets of pharmaceutical companies and some of the AIDS activist groups. That wouldn't have happened. But they were good. They were smart. They were ruthless. They took no prisoners. They destroyed reputations. Put Charles Ortlieb in the New York Native, number one AIDS publication in the world, telling the truth. Put him out of business. Slandered, libeled, good journalist. They won. I've seen this so many times. You know, hate on hate. You know, you hate someone who's just like you, and you should be respecting them, but you don't because you had an ulterior motive, and it's not in alignment with theirs. Theirs is getting people well. Yours is maintaining power and control. Anyhow, be that as it may, that's how I came up with the formula of how much vitamin C a person should have, and that's why one of the reasons that there's been so much success. A lot of doctors are using that today. So when someone says, oh, yeah, I take my antioxidant in the morning, yeah, and what's that doing? I don't know. And you're drinking it down with coffee? Yeah. And coffee's a diuretic. It's going to wash a lot of that out of your body. No one told me that. Yeah. So here's the latest on antioxidants and why you should be taking them throughout the day, ideally 5 times a day. Even if you're healthy, because you have about a 90% drop-off after about 4 hours. So if you take them throughout the day, and especially before you go to bed at night, then your cells are being protected, because one of the things antioxidants do, they trap free radicals. They gloom onto the free radical and neutralize it. And it's the free radicals hitting your cells that cause the gene alteration, which leads to disease. So Columbia University wanted to know what would happen with antioxidants and sleep. So understanding sleep has become increasingly important in modern society, where chronic loss of sleep has become rampant and pervasive. And as evidence mounts for a correlation between lack of sleep and negative health effects, the core function of sleep remains a mystery. But in a new study in the open access journal PLOS Biology, a group of scientists at Columbia University found that short sleeping fruit flies, mutants, shared the common defects of sensitivity to acute oxidative stress, and thus that sleep supports antioxidant processes. So understanding this ancient bidirectional relationship between sleep and oxidative stress is this humble fruit fly, and it can prove much needed insight into modern human diseases like sleep disorders, neurological, neurodegenerative disorders. Because what's the one thing most people have in common? What is it? A restful night's sleep, you wake up restored. Your immune system is strengthened. You have energy. And during sleep, humans and animals are vulnerable and immobile unless responsive to their environments. They are unable to forage for food, to mate, or run from predators. And despite the costs of sleep behavior, almost all animals sleep, suggesting that sleep fulfills an essential and evolutionary conserved function for humans and animals alike. So the researchers reason that if sleep is required for a core function of health, animals that sleep significantly less than usual should all share a deficit or a defect in their core function. And that's why they did this particular study, and it relates back to oxidative stress. Now, for those of you who haven't heard me discuss oxidative stress, oxidative, O-X-I-D-A-T-I-V-E, oxidative stress results from excess free radicals that can damage cells and lead to organ dysfunction. And toxic free radicals, what I mentioned a moment ago, or reactive oxygen species, build up in cells from normal metabolism, just going out for a run, will do it. And it causes environmental damage. So if the function of sleep is to defend against oxidative stress, then increasing sleep should increase resistance to oxidative stress. And so when you take antioxidants, you're trapping a lot of free radicals. You're reducing oxidative stress. So every time you take your vitamin C, your vitamin E, coenzyme Q10, you're reducing oxidative stress. You're reducing free radicals. So now when you have a good night's sleep and you've taken your antioxidants, you're protecting yourself against Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Huntington, all these conditions. So one more reason why, take your antioxidants and get a good night's sleep. They're both important. Now, according to the University of California at Berkeley, nature, Mother Nature, is proving to be an awesome medicine for post-traumatic stress disorder. The awe, the wow that we feel in nature can dramatically reduce symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. That's according to researchers that track the psychological and physiological changes in war veterans and at-risk inner-city youth during their time out in the wilds. And psychologists tested nature's healing powers over a group of military veterans and separately a group of teenagers from underserved Bay Area communities during and after dozens of one- and two-day excursions into nature. And their findings, reported in two articles published in the journal Emotion, suggest that that wow factor, as opposed to joy, pride, amusement, contentment, and other positive emotions, is the singular sensation that goes the furthest in boosting one's overall sense of well-being. And so it's the active ingredient that explains why being in nature is so good for us. The more that wow, the more that awe we feel during our encounters with nature, the happier and less stressed we are a week later. Now, there's a lot of different work being done to help with post-traumatic stress disorder. And what they found is just getting into nature for a few days, you have a 21% reduced rate of general stress, an improvement in social relationships, an improvement in life satisfaction, and an increase in happiness. So here's the deal. We have the capacity right now within our society to help a lot of people who are stressed, a lot of people suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. But they're not in nature. They're more often not institutionalized, and they shouldn't be. Because the person that's suffering from any form of emotional problem that is put into a prison of any kind is the one most likely to be taken advantage of by the prisoners and the guards. They're the ones most likely to be beaten and or shot and killed because they're already past the capacity to deal reasonably with anything. They're like a wounded animal in a corner, and someone goes over and pokes them. And then when they react, they're killed. Death by cop. In fact, that should be a new reality show. Think of all the people out there, how quickly they would die, everyone with a kill shot. Wow, what a society we live in. Want to die? Provoke a cop. Don't provoke a cop. Walk away from a cop. Unarmed? You could be naked. There was a naked guy and got shot and killed. Not just shot. Just shot many times. But we're not dealing with that. We're not even having discussions on it. On the one side are your fanatical fascist right-wing Fox, you know, people saying, we need more cops, more guns, and more ammunition, and more army, arming them. And the other side are people saying, you know, aren't there better ways for us dealing with issues instead of criminalizing them? You arrest someone for using marijuana, you put them in prison, they get raped, they get brought into a gang, they're angry because they don't see what they've done wrong to deserve this punishment. Somehow, if you're famous, you're not treated the same. Now imagine being a soldier. I've filmed them. And you need some support, and you're given none. None. The Sean Hannity's others who are brave troops, well, why not prevent them from going to war by showing the lack of need for war? You're going to wait 5 years before you can get into a VA hospital and get treated. But I can't wait 5 years. Too bad. Go live under a bridge. Or get yourself arrested and see how the cops treat you. Yeah. That's the reality I see. And it's so unfortunate so few people are willing to see the truth because their ideologies completely color their biases. But hey, if we're that level of awareness that anyone and everyone in an official capacity can lie to us and get away with it, where there's no consequence for them being wrong, where you can't fire a government employee no matter how irrelevant they are or wrong they are, then they're not to blame. We are. So it's just something to think about, because when I see how many people in America suffer from post-traumatic stress, prisoners, yeah, almost all of them. When was the last time you heard of helping people who are getting out of prison get into a halfway environment that's humanistic, holistic, to allow them to regain a sense of composure and a sense of letting go of their rage towards a society that put them there? I'm talking about the ones that did not deserve to be there, which is about 40%. You're talking about over 4.5 million people in the last 20 years. That's a lot of people. How about zero? Nothing. Nope. So, when a person has a chance to do something, get out into nature, how are they going to get into nature? If they're homeless and go into nature, how are they going to survive? They have no survival skills. We don't teach survival skills. We think that's too trade school-ish. Live in a bubble. We have 100 million Americans living in a bubble. What's going to happen when that bubble bursts? Well, then we're going to get hit with the environment. And this is one of those things that people have to learn the hard lesson. I hope not. But it looks like no one's seeming to learn anything from any of the things that's happening, because we're filming it. We're doing the most comprehensive film in the world. And it's done. It's just sitting at the publishers. But I'm not allowing it to come out. It's probably be one of the most definitive books ever written on the environment. It's finished. I'm just waiting for the film to be finished so I can bring them out together. And I do not rub a silk glove across this issue to shine it up. No, this is the brutal truth. Now I'm going to share that with you. Wondering why Antarctica is melting so fast? Trevor Nace, Forbes. Scientists discovered 91 volcanoes hidden beneath Antarctica's ice shelf. Well, 91 new volcanoes? What's troubling scientists is the ability of those volcanoes, if they erupted, to cause wide-scale melting. You got a volcano, 1,000-degree temperature, and a big one melting the ice above it. That's going to break up the entire Antarctic ice sheets. And according to geologists, University of Edinburgh, and recently published in the special publication of Geological Society of London, that is going to cause a major, major worldwide disaster. So it's not theoretical. It is, the volcanoes are there, and many are active. Now, then we find out the good people over at Monsanto, according to Kerry Gilliam, U.S. Right to Know, just released documents show Monsanto executives colluded with corrupted EPA officials, are there any other, to manipulate scientific data. Quote, 4 months after the publication of a batch of internal Monsanto company documents, a new trove of company records was released, providing fresh fuel for a heated global debate over whether or not the agricultural chemical giant suppressed information about the potential dangers of its Roundup herbicide and relied upon U.S. regulators to help. More than 75 documents, including intriguing text messages and discussions about payments to scientists, were posted for public viewing. And that's what they talk about in there. They're showing they colluded. Now, this is at a time when all federal agencies are being run by appointees who themselves come from special interest groups or corporations that don't want the public to know the truth about how dangerous different things are. The truth about why the bees are collapsing, bee colonies, which one-third of all of our food comes from pollination, and we're destroying up to 50% of the bee population just in the last 3 years alone. And we know it's because of the neonicotinoids, a class of pesticide. But knowing it is not the same as regulating it and banning it. In comes all the people that gave money to the politicians, including the president, and then suddenly your EPA director says, we're not doing anything with that. And then we have this from Robert Hunsker, Dying Ecosystems. I'll just quote the first two paragraphs. Earth's ecosystems support all life. Though collapsed ecosystems would be like stepping outside the International Space Station wearing only a spacesuit, pop bang gone. A recent academic study about signals of ecosystem collapse throughout history fits this spacesuit analogy. Terrifying truth is exposed. The all-important biosphere is sending out warning signals of impending crisis worldwide. It does not seem possible that ecosystem collapse and life dies off. That's too hard to believe. But if it does collapse, the Earth's biodiversity is under attack. We would need to travel back over 65 million years to find rates of species loss as high as what we're witnessing today. Biodiversity increases resilience. More species means each individual species is better able to withstand impacts. Think of decreasing biodiversity as popping out rivets from an aircraft. A few missing rivets here or there will not cause too much harm, but continuing to remove them threatens a collapse in ecosystem functioning. Forests give way to desert, coral reefs bleach and then die. It's already happening. Imagine flying in an aircraft while watching the rivets pop off the wings, one by one. At some point in time, screaming overrides thinking, but thank heavens, we're not quite there yet. Well, yes, we are. And unfortunately, everyone's been lying to you. When I say everyone, I mean every single environmental organization that says we have till 2100. We're right now in the midst of collapse. And if you doubt me, why don't you go to the places that are collapsing? Why don't you go to Hong Kong and take a look at what happened with the worst typhoon in Hong Kong's history? Take a look at the video of the top of buildings being blown off. Big trucks. I'm talking about big trucks thrown around like they were little toys. Yeah, that's, and they're right down there at the base at sea level in Hong Kong. Small city, very expensive. In fact, so small, they now have what are called crypt. It's a tiny little thing. You climb up a little ladder and scoot in, and it's got a television in it, and no room for you to do anything except lay there. You can use the bathroom at the end of the hall, but just imagine all these stacked up, and they're all stacked up, and that's legal. It's like a 50 square feet or something. It's just terrible. But that's what happens when people want to live in a place and don't have the money to afford it. But no one's paying attention. Dubai, no one's paying attention. They built all that real estate over $1 trillion right at sea level. Miami Beach, same thing. I'll be filming there next week and showing what's happening. I'll go down to the Keys and show you Key Largo, how much water is in the roads in the middle of the afternoon. That's what happens when we don't pay attention to when the things are happening. Right now, I've been posting on my website stories about how many animals, millions of animals, were killed in the flooding. How all those, the country's largest amount of pig farms and the reservoirs for all their manure, all of them were flooded out. That meant all that went into the rivers, estuaries, and now are going to go down into the ground and pollute people's wells. Wouldn't be drinking my well water before I checked it for parasites and contaminants. And that's in North Carolina, South Carolina, and up into Virginia. Quote, Washington Post, Diana Capillo, EPA report, more than half of the nation's rivers in poor shape. Yesterday, we filmed the most polluted river in America. And that's because all the gas hydrofracking companies are putting all their water in there. They're not supposed to, they are. And it's really toxic. Quote, more than half the country's rivers and streams are in poor biological health, unable to support healthy populations of aquatic insects and other creatures. The Environmental Protection Agency sampled nearly 2,000 locations, from rivers as large as the Mississippi to streams small enough for wading. The study found that 55% of them in poor condition, and that's where a lot of people get water that's filtered that they end up drinking. Then we have this. This city in Alaska is warming so fast that algorithms remove the data because it seemed unreal. From Flipboard, Angela Fritz. Last week, scientists were pulling together the latest data for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's monthly report on climate when they noticed something strange. One of their key climate monitoring stations had fallen off the map. All the data for Barrow, Alaska, the northernmost city in the United States, was missing. No, Barrow hadn't literally been vanished by the compounding waves of the Arctic Sea. The missing data was just the result of rapid man-made climate change with a runaway effect on the Arctic. The temperature in Barrow, Alaska, had been warming so fast this year, the data was automatically flagged as unreal and removed from the climate database. It was done by algorithms that were put in place to ensure that only the best data gets included in the NOAA's reports. They're handy to keep the data sets clean, but this kind of quality control algorithm is only good in averaging situations with no outliers. The current situation in Barrow, however, is anything but average. If climate change is a fiery coal mine disaster, then Barrow is our canary. The Arctic is warming faster than any other place on Earth, and Barrow is in the thick of it. With less and less sea ice to reflect sunlight, the temperature around the North Pole is speeding upwards. And then it goes on to say, the missing data obviously confused meteorologists and researchers, since it's a record they've been watching closely. Okay, here's what it means in lay language. It means that all these scientists expected climate change to go slower, but it didn't. It really sped up. And it sped up so fast and got so hot that it blew everyone away. They simply didn't think it was real, but it was. We had the hottest days in the Arctic's history, the hottest days in Alaska's history, the hottest days in Siberia's history, the hottest days in Greenland's history, the hottest days in Antarctica, the hottest days in Iceland this year. And now it is getting so hot that the permafrost is melting, and it's melting at such a rapid rate that methane gas is being released, and that methane is dozens of times more potent at creating global warming than carbon dioxide. And you have quadrillions of methane coming up or will be coming up from the Arctic and then Alaska and throughout the whole boreal regions, going from across Russia, across Siberia, across Canada, Finland, Norway. Everywhere you're going to see methane. That's going to speed up global warming exponentially. We're going to pass that 2 degrees Celsius level in the not too far future, not 10 years from now, 100 years from now. From all the people I've interviewed, and I've interviewed the honest scientists, the ones who are putting their reputation on the line by simply telling the truth, not those who need research grants and not going to rock the boat, you know, not those scientists associated with these different climate meetings out in California, these jerks, because they know the truth. Here's the truth of it. And then I'd like you to call in and share your points of view. I'd like to hear your points of view. What I've come to deduce is that we are not going to do a damn thing at all, ever, about anything, ever. We can't. It's not possible. You have seen a transformation of the majority. I'm not referring to the minority now, but the majority of Americans have been so indoctrinated into their first priority is pleasure. Their second priority is more pleasure. And their third is, how do I feel today? You touch any one of those, you're going to get a reaction. And as a result, the very things we could do, we have the science to do it, we have the capacity to do it, we won't. Because you can't get cooperation from large groups of people. And in the interim, you won't see the truth of anything. You'll simply see the example of it. You'll see Anderson Cooper standing in water up to his chest. I posted this photograph. And then there's another picture of him taken behind the camera guys who are all on the land. He intentionally and with malice aforethought stepped into a ditch that was flooded 5 or 10 feet in front of the camera to make it look like I'm here in the middle of, you know, this flood. No, you weren't. I'm not going to get into that now. Listen to the interview I have with Chris Hedges that I'll be playing this Friday. I think you'll find that Chris does a very good job on his own of saying how, you know, the left has betrayed its core values. And only the progressives are moving forward. You heard Abby Martin yesterday. You know, she is now a victim of her own honest reporting, as is Chris Hedges, as is Nellie Bailey and Glenn Ford. In fact, everyone who speaks any truth against the corruption of the liberal community is vilified, set upon, attacked, character assassinated, and excluded from any opportunity to share it to a larger audience. And that's one of the reasons they're coming over to this audience, because we do have a substantial audience, and our audience are not fools. They will not be, you know, dissuaded from the truth because someone says so. So what you have now is you have people who don't want to go into any discomfort. By actually, you mean I got to give up my straws? I got to give up my plastic bags? I got to do the paper? That's a hassle. I don't want to do that. If you gave up all the plastic bags and all the straws, that wouldn't account for 1/1000th of the problem that we're facing with the environment on Earth. You'd have to stop all this consuming. You'd have to stop the deforestation. You'd have to stop the animal agriculture. Now, you've been watching, not you listening right now, but the average person is watching every commercial is, we got the beef. Yeah, fool. And the beef, unfortunately, is your brain. I wish that was... You ought to hear how I talk back at the television every time there's an ad on. And, yeah, and you're going to get, are you going to tell them with this $5.95 you also have a good potential getting prostate cancer? No. But now people want more beef. If I go there, I get more beef. I get beef and pork and sausage. Then I get eggs. I get a bun. It's not good for you. I don't care if it's good for me. I get a lot, and it tastes good. And that shrimp you're getting, is that coming from China or Thailand where they use hog feces, you know, manure? And so you're really eating, you know, hog manure? No. Yeah. No. Yeah. Double down. Yeah. Yep, that's what you're eating. So, but they make it look so good. Well, we make everything look good. We make people actually look honest and empathetic. But they're not. So now, which of these things are the mass of Americans? And it's going to take a mass. It can't be done with a few. It's got to be a major quantum shift. Which things are people going to give up? Mind you, I started the show by saying 100 million people over the weekend watch sports. Not 100 people went out there to do something about the environment. 100 to 100 million. So where is change going to come from? Where's change within our medical community going to come from to change the utter corruption and danger of our current medical industrial complex? From the 900,000 doctors? Never going to happen. Never. Nurses? Never going to happen. Hospital administrators? Absolutely not going to happen. And as a result, you're still going to be paying until you're bankrupt for therapies that frequently kill you in the process. Now, that's kind of an irony, is it? You owe us more money. For what? I'm dying from the side effects of your chemotherapy. Doesn't matter. We're not paid to succeed. We're paid for our efforts. I see. Wow. So when I say, I'm not saying it cryptically, I'm not saying it negatively that we're not going to see change, I'm saying it realistically, because I haven't seen change. In my lifetime, I haven't seen change. It's been for the whole, the good, and we changed. And now we're even more in gridlock of ideologies clashing instead of the real issues. Those are my thoughts. I want to hear yours now. 888-874-4888. Because we are working on solutions to the environment. That's why I'm doing this film. All over the world, by the way. There won't be a single place in the world where there's a problem that we're not filming and giving solutions. Who do we have on the line now? Gwen. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hi.
I just wanted to acknowledge all the information that you've been giving out and to thank you for it. It's all bad news. It's very overwhelming. I've known about a lot of this stuff for many, many years, but you're really the only person who's on the air that's actually giving details and giving perspective on it. I haven't heard it anywhere else. And I guess just what's frustrating for me even more than Stormy Daniels, that's not really bothering me that much. But what bothers me is the news that you turn on and it repeats these stories. There's been three times today we've heard a story about a dog that was tied up at Prospect Park. I mean, you know, the whole world is collapsing and we're watching these ridiculous news stories and you can't get anywhere because people are just listening to this and you can't really blame people. You have to dig around for the information. You have to find PRN. You have to find BAI. And honestly, had I not stumbled on BAI, I guess, you know, maybe 25 or 30 years ago when I was at the park running, if I hadn't stumbled on that station, I wouldn't have gotten that information either. So it is very hard, and now it's even harder because of the censorship. So I just wanted to also thank you for putting that incredible information in. It should be very, very alarming to people. It was so alarming. I listened to your show from yesterday when you talked about you just listed all the people that are being censored and how it's going about by private people, private industries like Facebook. It's really, really terrifying.
You won't ever see the people I'm talking to. You won't see Ebby Martin debating Rachel Maddow. You won't see that. You won't see Ralph Nader being invited on to a presidential debate, nor Jill Stein. You will never see that. You see, the media is very good at capturing the argument and giving you only its biased opinion. That's why, did you listen to the Facebook investigative report I gave on Tuesday?
Yes. And
okay, share that.
Something, Mr. Gary Knoll. I am out there all the time talking about you. Nobody talks about you more than me. I bring you up all the time. I always reference you because I always meet people that just don't know.
And okay, now, here's what I'm going to do for you. Have you ever watched the headgear that boxers use to keep from getting brain injured? I'm going to send you one of those so the next time you talk about me, someone takes a swing at you, you won't get hurt.
No, I always I always end it with, you gotta watch them too.
Well, look, we cannot change your problem unless we're honest about it. So instead of looking at it as disaster or overwhelming, simply look at it as information. That's how I do. Let me just add on to what I said. And here's what I didn't tell you. It gets a lot worse than what I just mentioned, including this one from the University of South Florida. Melting of East Antarctica ice sheet could cripple major U.S. cities, and including all over Florida. That's why I'm going over there to film next week. And this one, this is from The Guardian. Climate change is the story you missed in 2017-18. Why? The media is to blame. So the media is focusing all of its energies on things that are not relevant and not focusing upon what is relevant. Here are the tipping points. This is the single most important information I can share with you, so make note and then do some additional research. Remember, you're in a unique position. You're not getting information based upon your politics. That's irrelevant. Or ideology. You're getting information based upon what you need to know in order to contribute to the solutions, individually and collectively. Here are the big ones. Here are the tipping points. When these tip, nothing in the world we can do will reverse the tipping. Melting of the Arctic ice cap, that's the tipping point that's already passed. So no matter what we do, it's only going to get worse. That means the entire boreal forest area is going to be so hot that insects will become omnipresent there, and you'll have beetles that will decimate those trees, causing more drying, and that will cause more fires. Greenland becomes ice-free. That could raise the ocean by 20 feet. Disintegration of the West Antarctic ice shelf, that's happening now. Loss of glaciers, and when you lose glaciers, you lose what is called the albedo, A-L-B-E-D-O, and then you get a greater increase in sea level rise. The fresh water from the Arctic and Greenland collapsing the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream is what takes warm water from the equator, brings it up the east side of the Atlantic, warming up all of Spain and Italy and France and Belgium and Great Britain and Ireland, Scotland, and brings it back, cold water back down. That's slowing. And in fact, it's so slow it could stop in the next year or two, and that would be cataclysmic in what it would do to the weather over all that area I just mentioned. El Nino becomes a permanent climate fixture. It never stops. Disruption of Indian West African monsoons. So there's massive drought. Melting permafrost and tundra releasing vast quantities of methane, what are called clathrates, C-L-A-T-H-A-R-T-E, the clathrate gun effect. Desertification. You'll see places in the United States, including Nevada, the cities in Nevada, like Las Vegas, in South Dakota. You'll see cities in our Corn Belt, in Kansas, that become deserts. It's happening all over the world. 27,000 communities have been taken back by the desert around in just one country, China. You'll see the Arctic ozone hole. You'll see the loss of the rainforest. We're losing the equivalent of 100 football fields in the rainforest every hour. We're also seeing the rainforest loss in New Guinea. We'll see the loss of the boreal forest. And that's another big tipping point. So, and these create what are called positive feedback loops that exacerbate climate change. So it gets hotter. You have dying off of a forest. You don't have the carbon being trapped in the soil that the trees would do. And that increases the heat, and that increases global warming. These are called positive feedback loops. So my goal is to first lay out with the best science, the most objective science, the actual problems, then the solutions. And I'm actually filming and showing solutions to every problem I just mentioned. But if people think they can stay living on the coast without consequences, they're delusional. West Coast, East Coast, even the Gulf Coast. But we're not making any plans to move because of the economics of what it would do to create a collapse of the real estate market, which would be a collapse of the property tax, which would be a collapse of the local, county, and much of the state revenue. And though the state doesn't get your money from property taxes, it gets revenue from people who are living in an area and able to support sales taxes. So you're going to see this with one more. Listen to what I'm saying. I predict, I'm going on the record, one Category 4 or 5 hurricane to hit Florida, again within the next 12 months, and you'll have the largest evacuation of homeowners in the history of Florida. I would guesstimate between 2 to 4 million people will move out of Florida and try to sell their property. That will collapse the market completely. Now, that does not mean that Florida becomes inhospitable or non-livable. It means that you're not covered. Look at your insurance policy right now in Florida, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas, including North Carolina. What do you want to bet you weren't covered for water damage? I'll bet anything you weren't covered. You were covered for hurricane. Hurricanes winds, not rain. So who's supposed to pay when the average American, the average working class American, can't go 2 weeks without an income and is deeply in debt? Who's supposed to pay for the new roof, the new basement, the new foundational work? You're not going to have the money to do it. So you're going to be forced to move. And I saw the effects, because it hit my animal sanctuary, and I saw the effects of what it did and what I had to do. Now, fortunately, I am multi-skilled in many things, so I was able to jump in there and help, and, you know, from bobcats and raising trees. And but roofs are not repaired. There's a year waiting list. Lanai's, a year waiting list. Well, that's already into the next year season. So the next Category 4 or 5 we get, the game is over in Florida. Now, you get a Category 5 hitting any city on the east coast of the United States, that'll be the end of that city's population. They won't want to rebuild. They won't be able to. The cost of rebuilding a major city would be over $1 trillion, and the government doesn't have that. So you see, this is the part of the story that we're not paying attention to because we don't want to. The consequences of paying attention are, you mean I got to look for the truth and I got to stand there and face it, I got to hear it, I got to see it? Yeah, I can't handle that. I got to go back to my cell phone, I got to go back to my social media, I got to go back to the internet. I can't handle this much truth at one time, it overwhelms me. And you expect that person to be a part of the solution? They're not. That doesn't mean we don't have active, engaged, educated, committed people. We do. They're just not the majority. Thank you for your call, Gwen. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. Have a nice day, everyone.